church. Hey, Hope, how's it going? Good. That is awesome. I'm so happy to be with you today and to be able to close out the series on Sabbath. I thought it was sneaker week, so that's next week, you guys. It's good to be a part of you today. My family feels so at home here and just really love this community. And when I get to speak, it's really a blessing because honestly, I'm just here just doing therapy, honestly, telling you all my stories and my deep, dark secrets. And it's going to be fun today. Okay, so wrapping up the last week of Sabbath, our study in Sabbath, I started to think about this a little bit more deeply as I was writing for it, and I know, and we all know that it's important for us as humans to slow down. It's important for us as we're distracted, as we live, as Katy Perry would say, like a plastic bag floating through the world. Okay, anyone know that song? Anyway, some days though, I feel like there is stress in life, and it's very much unnecessary stress, right? There's a lot of things we worry about, and for some reason, this video clip came to mind, so check this out.
Oh no. I'm lost! Where's the line? It just went away. What do I do?
Help!
We'll be stuck here forever.
Do not panic! Do not panic! We are trained professionals. Now stay calm. We are going around the leaf.
Around the leaf? I don't think we can do that.
Oh, nonsense. This is nothing compared to the twig of 93. That's it. That's it. Good. You're doing great. There you go. There you go. Watch my eyes. Don't look away. And here's the line again.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Soil.
Good job, everybody.
Oh, man. But isn't that just so much like life, right? Where we have a plan and then something falls in front of us and we panic and we don't know what to do. And that's why we need Sabbath. We need to be able to focus and reset and just really be able to receive what matters. So I'm going to take us back to the very beginning, and we're going to review all four of these weeks. At the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, it writes about creation. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created, there were 6 days, and there were all of these things that he created, light and sky and land and vegetation and the sun and the planets and the birds and the fish. And then he created animals and human. And after every time he created, he said that it was, he saw that it was good, right? And that Hebrew word Doug talked about last week, tov. Right? Tov, meaning good, harmonious, beautiful. You know this word because if you have Jewish friends, how many have a Jewish friend? They say mazel tov, mazel tov, right? Good luck. So tov, it was good. God created and it was good. There was beauty and there was harmony and it was agreeable. I love in Psalm 19 how David writes that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I love that when we look at creation, we see that it's good. We see that it's complete. We see that God created in such a beautiful way. We can tell, I don't know if you're a beach girly like me or guy, but if you like the beach and you sit in the sand, it's almost like you cannot help but slow down and listen to the perfect rhythm of the waves and the salty, you know, spray on your face and the wind. And you get this like visceral, this moment of, oh, it is good to be here. Or if you're a sunset person and you see the sun or the sunrise and you see the sun and you feel it all around you, the warmth hitting your face and the beams kind of aching in the back of your eyes and you go, oh, that is good. God is so good. And nature reflects all of that. Can you believe the audacity of Adam and Eve getting to live in that 24/7, that goodness, every day living in goodness and living not undistracted, but living with no time cards and no laundry. And I'm not speaking from personal experience, but no drama with your ex-best friend or your mother-in-law. No, I love my mother-in-law. And no physical pain, no stress, no limitations, every day just living in God's goodness, in perfect union with Him. That was Eden. It was paradise. And then we turn the page, and as we start to read the creation story, we learn in chapter 3, Genesis 3 tells us the desire to be like God for Adam and Eve was too much, to know what He knows. And so that disrupted everything. Adam and Eve ate from the tree that God told them not to, that desire to be more like Him. And once that happened, once that disobedience happened, the goodness, the tov around them became, it unraveled. And the result of that was disconnection from God and shame and striving. And you feel this now too, right? Because we live in a post-Eden world, right? There was a curse that happened when man decided to be like God and to disobey Him. And God's perfect. He cannot be near or close to anything that is not perfect. And so once this happened, there was consequence to their choice to know everything that He knows. And so you feel this because there were three curses that Genesis 3 talks about. It says for Adam, for man, the curse that you would carry is that you, work would become toil. And you would labor endlessly and it would never feel like enough. And for Eve, for the woman, pain would mark her story, especially in relationships and child rearing. And her longing to be known and to belong and to matter now will be met with complexity and with confusion and with heartache. And then for the earth, right? The earth had thorns now, and resistance and brokenness and evil and suffering entered in. And so we live in this post-Eden world, right? We're working jobs that drain us. We're managing relationships that are complicated and that wound us. And we're longing for rest, but we are unsure how to find it. How do we get back to Tov? There's just this struggle inside of us for Sabbath. You know, there's a struggle inside us for Sabbath because our identity was distorted in the fall. And we believe that our worth is in what we produce or who we matter to. And so because of that, there's this tension. And now we have to choose to be people of Sabbath, right? This is a message today for believers. This is for you who have already bought in, like, I know God loves me, I love Him, I've given my life to Christ, and now how do I stay connected to Him? Well, there's a practice of Sabbath, and we've been through this for the last 3 weeks, and this is the last week to talk about it. I want to take us through what that practice looks like, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get traces back of Eden into our lives, because we're so distracted, or we're so numb, or we're so worrisome, and we miss the goodness of God. And so it takes intentionality, it takes conviction, it takes discipline. So there's these four movements we've been working through. I don't know if you've been following along. I'm going to just introduce them to you again in case today's your first time. But there's these four movements of Sabbath. This is how we practice it. The first movement is we stop. The word in Hebrew, Sabbath, Shabbat, means to cease doing. So we stop, we unplug, we let go of our identity that we are what we produce. We stop. The second movement of Sabbath is rest. Now, this is not a crash out on the couch rest. I'm so wiped out, I have to rest. I'm done. This is a soul rest. This is building in a space where we let go and we let God carry the weight. And that's a matter of our faith, right? So we stop, we rest, and last week Doug talked about delight. How many of you were here last week and you heard the story about Heidi and the catching that big salmon fish and how she hated fish, and then all of a sudden now she loves salmon and it was so delightful to her and she was experiencing God's goodness in that? Yeah, that's not me. Like, on me and Jake's honeymoon, we went to Maui and we went to Mama's Fish House. Any of you been there? It's a fish place where they catch like the fish of the day, and it's a big deal. You know, when I'm at Mama's Fish House, I'm ordering a steak. I know, it's so offensive to be in Hawaii and order a steak, but give me a juicy, crusty steak with maybe some au jus to dip it in. I'm a happy girl. I'm delighting in the Lord. Like, yes, amen. So that is me. But it was funny. I know that delight is where Sabbath comes alive. We have to stop first, and then we have to get that soul rest, and then we can delight. You can't do it backward, right? I realized as I was after church on Sunday last week and we were learning about delight, I just was like practicing it automatically because I think it was kind of in me. I was thinking about it, but Jake and the boys were downstairs and they were playing video games, probably Fortnite. And I was upstairs and I was preparing dinner and I have my girl, Nora Jones, is my cooking music. So I've got Nora Jones, hey. She's a jazzy piano player, singer girl. She's so good. You should try it. And in that moment, I'm cooking dinner. I'm looking out the window at my hummingbird feeder, which I love my hummingbird friends that come visit. And I'm listening to my girl, Nora, and I was slicing some strawberries. And in that moment, it just kind of like, I don't know if I was hallucinating or if I was just in this slowness and this savoring moment, but I started to really zoom in on this berry. Like this red, gorgeous strawberry, I was slicing it slowly, and I just started to imagine, or hallucinate, I'm not sure. This could be God talking to me, I'm not sure. I was slicing it, and I started to think, how many hands has this berry been in before it got to me? How much sun and water and soil had to nurture this one berry of all my box of berries that I bought to get to me? And I had this moment like, I am holding a miracle. I'm holding a miracle and I'm just going to bite it and like not think about it. It was the best berry, by the way, because I think because I thought about it for so long. But I don't know if you've ever zoomed out like that before or I'm just the crazy one. But that was a delight moment for me, this red, awesome strawberry. Sabbath invites us to delight with all of our senses. So we stop, we rest, we delight, and then today we're going to talk about worship. Then we worship. It has to go in this type of progression. You can't do it backwards. So worship, when you stop and you rest and you delight, worship is just a natural response. I love how Ruth Haley Barton in her book, Sacred Rhythms, writes, I know what it's like to rest for hours until I have the energy to delight in something. Good food, a good book, a leisurely walk, a long-awaited conversation with someone I love. I know what it's like to feel joy and hope and peace flow back into my body and soul, though I had thought it might never come back. I know what it's like to see my home and my children through the Sabbath eyes of enjoyment. I know what it's like to have rest turn into delight and delight turn into gratitude and gratitude into worship. It has to flow like that. So worship begins in this way with our attention, which leads us to awe, right? Our attention, our gratitude, our awe. And think of it this way, the curse actually took our eyes off of God. We became so noisy and distracted and worrisome and burdened, and the curse took our eyes off of God. And then our attention and our awe brings us back. It puts our eyes back onto God. This is how we connect with him. And Sabbath isn't about resting and stopping work. It's not stopping there. It's about reorienting our lives, our priorities, what matters, and resetting our focus. So what we have to do is we have to pursue Eden in a post-Eden world. We have to pursue Eden. And if we don't, what happens is we lose our focus and we lose our identity. We forget who we are. That we are not God, he is God, we are not. And rest, eventually, if we lose our identity, it turns into toil, turns into stress, turns into heaviness. So let's talk about Sunday. It's Sunday. Sunday is often considered America's Sabbath, right? Everybody Sometimes you're watching like a ball game, you're sleeping in, you're reading the news, you're watching your hummingbirds, slicing strawberries, you're doing your Sunday thing. I don't know how many of you guys are going to go get lunch after this, probably take a nice, awesome nap. Yeah, you're going to Sabbath pretty hard. It's awesome. I really think as I've been studying these four moments, that progression of experiencing this Sabbath, I'm going to tell you, I think we as Americans are doing it wrong. Don't tell Doug, because I'm about to say something that's going to get me in trouble. Dwayne, plug your ears. He's the former pastor, by the way. He's awesome. So imagine if we chose Sunday to be Sabbath, and with these movements of we need to, if we want to incorporate Sabbath and we chose Sunday, that we need to stop, rest, delight, and worship. Why in the world are we waking up and stressing ourselves out to get dressed and ready to come to church to worship God without stopping, resting, and delighting? Because my worry, you guys, is that if we do this opposite in the backwards way, our worship becomes about the song. It becomes about, I'm not getting anything out of church today. I don't like those lyrics. That worship leader, I don't like him. I'm feeling stressed. I'm angry at my kids for running late. And worship is not about coming and receiving from the church. It's a vertical thing. It flows out of a heart that is well rested and delighted. So now I declare we have church services on Sunday night. Don't tell, no, I'm just kidding. Don't bring that to leadership. Don't bring that to leadership. We got to start our Sabbath on Saturday is probably what we need to do. But anyway, raise your right hand so I don't get in trouble as a substitute teacher today. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. Solemnly swear that I will not take this grievance to Doug and the leadership, but I will take responsibility of my own faith and Sabbath like no one else on my own. All right, okay. But imagine if we were to look at that, look at if we did it this way, if we did it on Sunday, not Saturday, what this would feel like. If you woke up and you slept in, you got to breathe, maybe do some stretches, you went for a walk, you had a meal with some of your loved ones or your friends, and you just felt so filled up, you delighted, and then you came to church and you got to worship back to God what you felt connected to him from the other movements. And, you know, I think it would eliminate the Sunday scaries. The stress of Sunday night going into Monday morning, right? I think it would reset our focus so much that we'd be like, okay, God, what do you got for me? I'm ready to step in to this next chapter, this next week, come what may. Doesn't that sound amazing? Even holy? But since that's not practical, we're not going to be bugging Doug about that, but we are going to take responsibility of our own. And so I wanted to ask you, have you Sabbathed? Do you know how to do this? Like our Jewish friends who do Shabbat on Friday nights, right? They turn everything off. They don't even touch the light switches. I had a Shabbat meal with some family in Jerusalem. It was incredible, but there's a lot of rules, and we sing songs, and we have this meal, and it's very sacred. It just becomes, it's literally like the pinnacle of all that they are about. And I had to think, how do we do that as Christians, as American Christians? What does that feel like? What does that look like? And I think the first thing that came to me, and I know we have mixed emotions about this particular time in history, but I think that we experienced Sabbath inside the curse of COVID, where everybody had to cease. And there was a lot of chaos around us, and we had to reprioritize, and we had to think about what really matters, right? Our health, our relationships, our faith, and we were kind of forced to Sabbath, unless you were like my husband who had to go to the hospital as an essential worker. I felt like that was a time for the entire world to just go, wow, God, we don't got this. You have to have this because we don't got this. We're so scared. Anyway, that reminds me of a time in my life when I could give a rip about Sabbath. And I'm not proud to admit that here, But I want to share with you a little bit about my personal journey and Sabbath, because this message flowed out of me. I was like, I can write this, it's easy. I was terrible at Sabbath. A while ago, there was a time where I worked at a pretty large church that prided itself on excellence. And the way that that gets twisted up for a person who's a girl, firstborn, daughter, achiever, approval addict, insecure in some of those things, like I like to work hard, the way that that manifested for me was, what is excellent for Jesus? How do we get to excellence? You never can get there. You cannot find it. But I was inside a culture that all felt that way, right? And we were all stressing out. We were all broken and trying to achieve. And at that time, my boys here that are in junior high, they were 6 and 7. They were first and second graders. And I was in the middle of creating this huge Christmas program for a mega church with multi-sites and broadcast online. And we had 44 services across all these campuses. And I was responsible for all the teams that pulled this off. I mean, I had help, but this was something that was a huge burden for me. And we worked all day and night. We had tons of worship teams. We had creative teams. We had graphic design. We had teaching teams. We traveled to New York City and captured some shots because our theme was wonder. And wonder, we thought, was such a cool Christmas theme, right? Because how many of us have lost our childlike faith? And where in the world is kind of like the North Pole for adults? Well, Rockefeller Center with a big tree. And, you know, so we're flying all over America and we were pulling this off. This snow globe that was a family picture thing that we got, I was up in the middle of the night with a woman named Lily in China who was creating that for us. I was not sleeping. We had thousands of candles, and pulling this off was just a bear. And in the midst of all that stress, being on the phone with China and doing these rehearsals and hiring musicians, we were about to present our show to the leadership. We would always do a rehearsed, like, service for all of the elders and their families and the lead pastor and his wife and family. And we were ready to pull this off in the morning of this huge thing, because if they didn't like it, we had to scrap it and start over. The stress of that morning, waking up with the weight of all of this and that rehearsal looming, my 7-year-old Brody woke up with 104 temperature. And he looks at that, that was him, that was the same week. I don't know, I just looked back in my pictures and found this, and he was doing Legos on the floor when he was better, but he came down with 104 temperature, and I have to admit and confess to y'all, I was like, I don't have time for this. My heart was so messed up. I was thinking, who can I call? We didn't have family nearby, so who can I call to offload my sick kid that's going to get exposed to whatever he has and take him to urgent care, because I cannot miss this rehearsal. And I remember thinking, like, okay, I'm going to call my boss, and I'm going to ask him, like, hey, I know this is a really big deal, but my kid is really sick. He's crying. He's bright red. He's so hot. I don't know what sickness he has, which it was December 2019. He probably had COVID. He was so sick. And my boss, I'll never forget, on the phone said, figure it out and get here. I was like, the stress, the anxiety attacks I had already had through the middle of the nights leading up to this day. And so I hang up with my boss and I call my worship pastor, my lead worship pastor, Allison, and I'm explaining to her, hey, I'm probably going to be late. I have this problem, this issue that's going to be, and if I show up and I smell like BO and I haven't showered, I'm sorry. If I'm short with you, understand I'm going through a lot right now. And I'm rattling off all these things. Make sure this happens and this happens. Da, 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 da. And she stops and she begins crying on the phone. And it wasn't because I was being a bully to her and I was stressing her out. She already knew. She lived in that. She swam in that pool with me. We were all stressed out. She was crying for me. She was crying because she's a sister in Christ, and she knew I was missing it. And she begged me on that call, Bree, please stay home and be an example to all of us. Let us take care of it. Show us that this doesn't all rely on you. It was like God broke through that moment, that phone call, and was like, Bree, what the heck? Like, what are you doing? Your son is sick. What's important to you? What's important to me? And I can see this now. I can look back, operating out of brokenness, living inside the curse. I can see that God used Allison to really speak to me and open my eyes to my identity crisis and my focus. And I realized, like, wait, I'm not God. I can't do all this. This is not about impressing my boss, which, by the way, I called him back and said I wasn't coming. That did not go well for me. And I had to live in the anxiety of being punished later for that and having a crucial conversation with him. The stress of carrying all that was just a lot, but I knew those snow globes were going in the trash or storage. I knew that people would still experience God without me being present. Who am I? Who do I think I am? My pride, my not enoughness, my craving of love and importance. I was sacrificing my son on the altar of my insecurities. I was not living as a person of Sabbath. I had it all wrong. I remember a little bit after that, Brody was better, and we were back to regular school stuff, and I was driving the boys to school, and on the drive, I just was feeling the weight of all of this tension of, I can't do this anymore, and I love what I get to be a part of, but I can't carry all this, this culture of this, this opportunity for me is just, it's really too much. And I asked my seven-year-old, my second grader, hey, Brody, do you like that Mama works? And, you know, he, like, had it great. He could go backstage, him and Deacon backstage, getting all kinds of snacks and hanging with the musicians. They had a blast. And my little seven-year-old goes, yes and no. And I was like, oh, really? I said, why yes? And he said, well, yes, because we get to play a lot of video games. I was like, immediately that was a dagger to the heart. You know what that meant? That meant Mama is crashed out on the couch, and she put her kids in front of the TV. We get to play a lot of video games. You are not here. And he said, why no? And he said, well, no, because you don't play with us anymore. Done. It was in that moment. I dropped the kids off. I bawled all the way home, just crying my eyes out, praying to God, what in the world am I supposed to do? And God said, just be. And in that moment, I realized that was it. And a plan was now in motion at that moment to find a new way to live. Dunzo. You may not have the type of story that I have. You may not have hit a wall like I did, but I'm guessing you felt at one point or another, because we're all human, we have these emotions. We are a myriad of emotions, that you've experienced stress, you've experienced moments where you feel like this means everything, I can't let it go. You have upside down priorities, and I want to remind you and reflect back to our psalm today, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. They just exist to glorify God because they are good. They understand why they're here. Sometimes I don't think we understand why we're here. Have you ever seen a tree be stressed out? No. Ever seen a flower act anxious? No. No, because they know why they're here. They know why they exist. They're originally created to reflect God's glory. And nature knows what it is and what it's not. It's not striving. It's growing at its own pace. It's not worrying. It's not hustling for worth and identity. It just exists, and in that, it worships. Naturally. I love Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 is an awesome scripture if you want to dive deeper into Sabbath. I'm just going to take you to verse 1. It says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. His promise still stands as an invitation. He still promises, and some of us are missing it, this rest, not because we don't want it, right? We have to make this a practice. We have to be intentional about it because there's this constant human struggle of post-Eden and where we are today. You know, the Israelites missed it, right? After creation, the Israelites, they missed the promised land because they didn't hear God's promises. They didn't believe and connect with God. They lived on their own anxieties, right? They moved forward and trusted their own instincts. What? How human. I can't judge them. How human. So here's the good news. I showed you the first 6 days of creation, and then there's the seventh, right? What happens on the seventh day? God rested. Did he rest because he was tired? No, he rested because it was finished. Creation was complete. It was finished, and it was what? Good. It was good, and he invites us to experience that every day. And yes, there is a curse, and yes, there is work. You can't just like, I'm just going to quit everything. Yes, there is work, and there's toil, and there's pain, but God sent Jesus to help us handle that, right? God rested because creation was finished. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, proclaiming, it is finished. He made a way for you and I to live differently. There's no longer this burden of work. There is freedom to just be. And now we live not just in a post-Eden world, right, where we can just get so down about, oh, post-Eden, you know, I'm so mad at Adam and Eve. We live post-Eden, but no, Jesus. But Jesus, so it's pre-eternity. It's a different perspective. It's a different worldview. We understand that we live in this, but Jesus frees us. And that's the invitation right now, is to live in that in-between space as people of Sabbath. So we practice a regular Sabbath rest. Amen? It's just vital to who we are as believers. We have to do it. It's not because we need to or because Doug tells us to. We have to do it. So maybe this week, as you consider building a Sabbath rhythm and you're trusting God enough to stop, I'm going to ask you to think about letting go. I'm going to ask you to think about looking up at the sky, choosing delight and joy. Slice that strawberry and have the best time. Delight in your Creator and experience real rest that leads to true worship that just flows out. I'm going to invite the worship team up here. I asked Brandon and the team to sing one last song. It was something that as I was working on this message, it really stuck out to me. So if you are able to stand, would you stand and let's sing Be Thou My Vision as we keep our eyes on him and we allow him to be our focus. Let's worship together over what we just learned.